Biden will talk with some governors. It'll be a virtual chat with a bipartisan group of governors. A White House statement says the president will talk about new efforts by Uber and Lyft to offer free rides to those seeking vaccinations. Senate Democrats and Republicans are butting heads over the federal government's role in U.S. elections and voting rights in America.
Republican legislatures have seized on the big lie to restrict the franchise and inevitably make it harder for African Americans, Latinos, students, and the working poor to vote.
Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says recent GOP state voting laws carry the stench of oppression and the smell of bigotry. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell calls the sweeping Democratic legislation a partisan effort to take over how we conduct elections in our country. Iowa is joining a growing number of Republican-led states to end increased unemployment benefits from the federal government. Iowa Business Council Executive Director Joe Murphy says there are enough job openings in the state to cover the number of people out of work right now.
We actually have, in the state of Iowa, 66,000 open positions right now, and we have 60,000 people on unemployment. So we got to get these folks off unemployment into good-paying jobs.
An ointment used to treat Kentucky Derby winner Medina Spirit could be the reason for the horse testing positive for drugs. Trainer Bob Baffert said the ointment was used to treat some skin irritation after the Santa Anita Derby. You are listening to the latest from NBC News Radio.
Here are the major rules for all KKNW Call to Win contests. After our contest on-air cue to call, the first completed call received at 888-298-KKNW or number given at time of contest will be selected and verified as the winner. You can win a prize valued up to $100. To be eligible, you must be at least 18 years old, have not won in the last 30 days, and reside within the KKNW listening area. Complete contest rules are available at 1150kknw.com.
And let's go ahead and take a look now at your alternative talk weather outlook for Tuesday. Well, we'll see mostly sunny skies with increasing clouds later on this afternoon at temperatures around 67, 68 degrees. Tonight, again, those clouds will creep back in for the evening. Low temperatures dropping down to about 51. For Wednesday, Thursday, and running up into the weekend, partly to mostly sunny skies at temperatures in the upper 60s to low 70s.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next to you.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. Look, you know that in a 17-year period of doing this show, I've talked about many things, especially in the area of wellness and giving all of you solutions. But here's one thing that hit my heart so hard. I felt so powerless. I felt so helpless when my friend passed away from something that we call ALS. And today, somebody that is joining me here today, co-founder, executive chairman of Dutch Brothers Company, Travis Boersma, has a powerful, empowering, not helpless, not hopeless message. Why? Because when ALS hits you so close to home and you get to watch and you get to see, you have to do something if you're Travis. You have to do something. So can a cup of Joe support ALS? You bet. And we are here full out to support everything that Travis is doing to help raise money for something you're about to hear about. Travis, great to have you.
Well, thanks for having me.
I've done a lot of shows. I've become an advocate for health and wellness over a 17-year period. I've talked about everything from Lyme disease to what's going on now. But I will tell you this. When it came to watching my friend diagnosed with ALS, I had never felt such a sense of helplessness. For you, you've taken a similar journey, more so than me. You know, for you, this is about Dane, isn't it?
Well, there's no doubt about it, but it's, you know, in my experience, you know, there's no bigger heart-wrenching, difficult, brutal thing that I've been through than what I had to go through with my brother.
Yeah.
He was not only my brother, he was my business partner. He was my best friend and my mentor. And so, you know, seeing Dane go through something like that in those early stages, we thought, I remember thinking, well, you know, we're going to beat this thing. We're going to fight it. We're going to beat it, you know, and you quickly realize over time that you have no control.
Mm-hmm.
And when you know, for where I was in my life, that was tough because I guess to some extent, you know, I'd like to think that, you know, we can persevere, we can get through, can find a way, you know. I'm the eternal optimist. So when you get dealt this hand, you do feel helpless. And there is that feeling is just a terrible, horrible feeling.
Yeah. And you're right. You shared so much, Travis. You shared so much. I mean, you know, being co-founder, executive chairman of Dutch Bros Company, a coffee, it's privately held drive-through coffee company. It's the largest. And this is an accomplishment, an achievement. And when you build something, you don't expect something like this just to come out of nowhere. These are my words, to come out of nowhere. But the question then is, when it does come out of nowhere, what do you do after you experience this and watch the pain? And for many people, they may not know what ALS is, and I want to give them some information about it. But you took action. Tell us about the action today.
Well, 15 years ago, we decided to dedicate one day a year in the month of May. It's, you know, ALS month.
Yep.
So, you know, one day a year, we call it Drink One for Dane. And proceeds go to the NDA to hopefully find cause. And all of our shops in all 11 states contribute on this day. And all of our employees, all of our baristas, all of our great customers, everybody kind of comes together. People come from, you know, out of the woodwork to really just support this day alone, and people have come to look forward to it.
Yeah.
Especially those who have had an experience like we have. You know what I mean? And when you go through something like this, it's one of those things that kind of it's a scar that is on your heart that you never forget about. And so the impact that we've made is significant. We've been raising money every year on Drink One for Dane. And our goal is to eclipse $10 million cumulatively with Drink One for Dane. We're hoping to hit $1.6 million on May 14th alone. That'll put over the $1 million mark. So, you know, money is a wonderful tool. It's a great resource, and that's all it really is. I mean, you know, you can't really do anything with money. It's one of those things that you know, you can't take with you when you pass. And we're like vapor here. We're all terminal, or maybe we're eternal, but one day, you know, our number will be called, and we don't get to pick how or when. And if you get this number called in this how, to me, it's one of the most brutal ways to go.
Hmm. It really is, and we're going to talk about that. I want to make sure everybody knows. Look, go to Dutch, D-U-T-C-H, Brothers, but it's abbreviated, Bros, I love that, B-R-O-S.com, Dutch, B-R-O-S, is in Sam.com. And for those of you listening, I want to just be really clear about availability for the state. When you go there, you're going to see the map of locations. And when you look here, for those of you sitting here in Western Washington and Eastern Washington that are listening to the show, there is a location that you can put on your calendar for this day, and you pull out your calendar now, and you go there, and you take a look at this, and you'll be able to see throughout the country, but especially through the state of Washington, take a look. There are places for you to go. There are coffee shops for you to go, Dutch Brothers coffee shops all over. There's one that we're planning to go to right up the road from us in Everett. So this is really what we're talking about. It's a call to action. I need to take a minute with you, Travis, to talk about ALS, because this is what many people don't know. Let's talk about ALS. Let's talk about how many people get it. You know, what are the chances? You know, out of all of the illnesses I've studied in 17 years, this is the one that we've done the most talking about and the least amount of solution in all 17 years. Tell us about what ALS is for people that don't know.
Well, so, you know, with Dane, it started with a speech. It starts to have slurred speech. It leads to difficulty swallowing. Over time, you have difficulty with your breathing diaphragm. And then, you know, you lose your ability to walk. You lose all your muscle performance. So for those of you in Eastern Washington, you probably know Steve Gleason, the former pro football player for the New Orleans Saints.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe he was a Washington State Cougar. He's like a living legend, a hero to me. And he is well into the disease. He only is able to communicate with his eyes.
Yeah.
So he literally has lost the use of everything but his eyes and maybe a smile. But he's brilliant in his space. There's people that struggle with this disease. Every year, you know, there's turnover. The average life expectancy once diagnosed is about 2 to 5 years.
Yep.
I think Steve is somewhere out there like 8 to 10 years since diagnosis and still rocking. There's a documentary, if you have the opportunity to watch it, that's incredible with him and a whole team hiking Mount Kilimanjaro or maybe it was Machu Picchu, one of those two.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that is really tragic is every year about 30,000 people have it at any given time.
Right.
And so because there's not a lot of there's no drugs or there's no money to be used for research, it has to come from organizations like us. Crusades and organizations like Steve has put together, Steve Gleason. He has Gleason Fest for Music Bus, a big festival out there in Spokane every year. It takes extraordinary effort. Pete Frates, the Ice Bucket Challenge, that was one that really put it on the map. The more that we can share and give people awareness, that gives us the ability to really get people to help and donate and try to put some money behind this thing for the people who have committed their lives to research. You know, because this thing it's gone on way too long.
Yeah.
It's something that I do believe we're closer to finding a cure for our cause every single day that goes by. I think we're making significant progress.
And, you know, it's because, Travis, you know, what you're doing here and, you know, you're coming out and you're making people aware. And, you know, this is important, you know, because of what we just talked about with ALS, because of the short life expectancy, because there really is, and I will say this, there really is no drug to cure it. You know, there's less publicity about it, you know, and less funding for it. And if it's not for you to do something like drink one for Dane, Friday, May 14th, right? You know, I want everybody to really know, please, Friday, May 14th, go get a cup. Go get a drink. Drink one for Dane. Because without these kinds of campaigns, you know, the people that suffer from ALS, they really don't have the support. And it doesn't matter what race or ethnic background you are. It doesn't matter what age you are. That's the trick. It doesn't matter any of that. Right? 90% of ALS cases are sporadic. And so this is a way to get the word out. This is what Travis is doing. Tell us, so look, I'm saying to people, go get a drink for Dane. How do people go about that, Travis?
Well, you know, our company, we've got over 450 locations in 11 states. So, you know, we're growing. We're here to make a difference. So our mission is we're a fun-loving, mind-blowing company making a massive difference one cup at a time. This day is all about that.
Yeah.
I mean, we're on fire on this day. Our people are out of their minds, stoked. We're building beverages faster than people can blink their eyes. I mean, it's a day to really make impact, make a difference. And if you go to any one of our shops, that's one way. Proceeds from every cup go to cause, research, to find cause, cure. And then if you don't have a shop near you or you just simply want to do it easily, you can go to DutchBros.com and donate. So it's a big deal. The goal, again, is $1.6 million on May 14th. And if we hit that goal, when we hit that goal, we'll eclipse $10 million over a 15-year period of time. And, you know, if somebody would have told me that when we started this thing out, I would have just been blown away.
Yeah.
But the reality is what is going to be the blow away, what is going to be the difference maker is finding cause, finding cure, and that will really be a big difference maker in people's lives. I can't begin to tell you how horrific, how challenging, how difficult, how heart-wrenching it is for the people, the families, the friends that have someone go through this. It tears your heart out. It you know, it's one of these things that I believe we'll get through, but it's going to take extraordinary effort from all of us.
Mm. Travis, thank you for today. What's your personal message? What would you like to leave us with today?
Well, I guess what I'd say is we never arrive until we depart. So no matter where you're at, no matter who you are, no matter what your struggle is, the best thing that we can do is continue to grow, continue to learn, continue to apply those lessons in our lives to be a better version of ourselves, to make an impact and love on each other. At the end of the day, man, don't lose sight of love. Mm-hmm. That grows is in relationship business, and the product is love. You know, so at the end of it all, man, that's all that really matters. And when you don't get to pick when or how you go. So, you know, make the impact you can make. Seize the opportunity. It's your life. Write your book. Make it happen.
I love it. Thank you. Thank you so much, Travis. And for those of you out there, DutchBros.com, we're all over it. Thank you so much, Travis.
Thank you so much.
And I want to just mention for everybody here, come on. This is all about Drink One for Dane. It's on May 14th, and the company, Dutch Bros, will donate a portion of the proceeds. You know, more than 400 shops across the nation. Please get involved. Please help us out. Please, let's get a cure for ALS. Let's take a short break. We'll be right back. Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose. Tune in to Transformation with Martinet every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Martinet and her guests are here shining their lights today through empowering stories of hardship and transformation. Begin to see your life in a new light.
Visit MartineEmmons.com and tune in every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific to Transformation with Martine. Hey, everybody. Welcome. Welcome to our good news segment, actually fantastic news segment. What happens when you're somebody like me, and over a 17-year period, you have interviewed some of the most interesting people, but never really thought about the impact they truly make on the world? You know, what happens if we were to celebrate these female writers, these trailblazers who changed the world? What if we took a look at who they are and what their impacts have been? Many of you have used quotes from them. Many of you know who they are and what they've done. You may not always remember their names, but you know that there has been a game-changing impact. Today, joining me, Lauren Marino, longtime book editor and publisher, and the author of Bookish Broads, Women Who Wrote Themselves Into History, is joining me here today because celebrating and honoring the dignity of these women right now is one of the most important things we can do. Lauren, it's great to have you. What an epic effort.
Oh, thank you so much. It's great to talk to you.
You know, I don't know if we take the time. I'm thinking about this for myself. If we truly take the time to really honor the women that have literally shifted the way we see the world. Can you tell me, from your perspective, what touched your heart? What, I mean, in order for you to do something like this, something had to literally blow open your heart.
Right. Well, I think, you know, I'm a lifelong reader. I loved books as a child. I've always been a writer, and I've devoted my whole career to publishing books. But as a woman, as a mother, and a writer, I just feel that women writers have not been honored enough or celebrated enough. And that's what I always read growing up. It's what my daughter reads. You know, the books that female writers have written have shaped me. They've shaped who I am. They've made me who I am. You know, characters like Jane Eyre, who shows tremendous courage. And I think as a reader, being able to see yourself relate to the experiences and the inner life of the characters that you're reading about is really important. The specific impetus for this, for writing Bookish Broads, was that I was reading an article about from the American Library Association, and they were saying, we're so proud that we have this list of the top 100 most circulated books in the libraries from all around the world. And I said, oh, well, this will be interesting. What are the, you know, these are the books that the libraries send around the most, you know, that people check out and read the most. And I looked at that list, and I saw that only, I actually sat and counted, 14 out of the top 100 were by women. And I said, how can that be? That it's 14 out of 100?
Wow.
And yet I know as a book publisher that 70 to 80% of books are bought by women. I know my mother was a huge reader growing up. I know that I'm a big reader. I know that women are the ones that start the book club.
Yep.
I know how successful women writers are. Books on the bestseller list in fiction are so many are by women. So is that an algorithm problem? Like it, what, you know, these are books. So anyway, I just started digging deep into, I wanted to know why this was, but I also, more importantly, wanted to just celebrate them, the obstacles that they had to overcome, which were many throughout history.
Yeah.
Because women did not have legal rights. Women did not have access to books or education, really, until the 20th century. And they were ostracized if they were writers. They had to publish under male pseudonyms or have to publish anonymously. And yet I know that these women shaped me and shaped millions of other girls and women growing up. So that just put a fire in my heart. I said, I want to find out what these women were about, and I want to share that with the world, and I want to make it accessible and fun, and I want to highlight some of the best books that they wrote, so that hopefully this is kind of like Bookish Broads is like a little guidebook of female writers through history, and you can read about the story behind the storyteller and pick the ones that you want to know more about, and then, you know, look at the further reading I provide, or, you know, I want to celebrate them, and I want to make people turn to them.
Yeah.
So that was really tight.
And, you know, I think, and by the way, you've done that, because what we're really seeing now is, I believe, this is me now speaking, a hunger. Let me just call it a hunger. A hunger. I can't tell you how many of my friends and multi-generations now are, if they're not reading a book, they are listening to a book. And I honestly, I've been doing this 17 years, and in the 17-year period, I have never been in a time where more women, I can't speak for the men, more women that I know of are reading books, less television, in their car. They are doing that. But what you're doing is so special. And let me tell you why. There are many of us that have broken through a profession or a field, and we know what that's like. I cannot imagine what this was like for these women. I can't imagine what it was like for the women that sat in a monastery and wrote things and never got a single bit of credit. What are some of the firsts that you discovered, meaning the first dot, 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 the first dot, dot, dot?
Right. Well, I think, you know, one of the things that really surprised me in researching this was that some of the first female writers in the Western world were the nuns. And there were a lot of reasons for this. One was that most women, most girls, were put into forced arranged marriages by the time they were 12 years old.
Yeah.
As soon as they were childbearing age, they were married off. And in some cases, I mean, if they didn't, you know, we know how dangerous childbirth was. And can still be. If they didn't, they would have one child after another.
Yep.
In some cases, you could have 20 children. 20 children if you didn't die in childbirth. And so you really, you never learned to read. You didn't learn to write. The way to, if you had a fire in your heart to change the world, or to learn to read or write, or to express yourself the way that you did, that was joining the convent. So the first female writers were nuns, and it was not legal. Women were not allowed to write or to read, but the nuns would all sit there in the convent together, and they taught each other how to read and write, and they used divine inspiration and showing their praise for God as their, that was how they expressed themselves. That's how they, their past for God is what they wrote about, and therefore it was acceptable.
Yeah.
I just found that utterly fascinating.
Yeah.
But also, you know, I studied English literature in school, and I learned that the first novel was written by Samuel Richardson in the 18th century. Yeah, the first novel was written in 11th century Japan by Lady Murasaki Shikibu.
Wow.
The Tale of Genji, which is still a beloved book. She wrote it in Japanese, and it was really, I mean, it's a 1,300-page book. She was in the Empress's court, and it was sort of all of the drama going on at court, and it was a sort of soap opera that would rival The Crown or Bridgerton. You know, but she's credited in Japan for that. She's well known there, but she's not that well known in the United States. So I thought that was fascinating.
Lauren, let me ask you.
And the list goes on and on.
Yeah, let me ask you this question, because, well, first off, You're absolutely right. My stepmom had my first, my sister Joyce at 12 and Doris at 13. So that's still going on down the South. So I totally get what you're talking about there.
Right.
But let's talk about this. We're running into a strange situation in media right now. And I'm an independent network. I own a network independent, but we distribute. And we're finding right now that some of the interviews we distribute are being censored. And I thought, well, these women went through the censorship. I'm never going to go through the censorship thing. And I'm not talking about extreme things, right? I'm not even talking about extreme things. I'm talking about a host mentioning or saying something that they don't think is medically proven. And I've never experienced that. So my question to you is, what the heck did these people go through? Did we ever really get what they really wanted to write?
I think a lot of them did. I mean, they were ostracized. And some women writers still are. You know, growing up, I read Judy Blume, and so did millions and millions of other girls. And her books were pretty innocent, but they were meant for teenage girls because she wanted to write books that answered the questions that she had when she was growing up that no one had told her. And I read Judy Blume, and that got me through. That's where I learned what I was going through. When you're going through puberty and adolescence, it's such a confusing time. You know, it's confusing physically. It's confusing emotionally. And just to read those books made me say, oh, okay, I get it. This is what happens, and this is, like, it just happens to everyone, and I'm not weird, and I'm okay. And you know, but Judy Blume is censored.
Yeah.
Judy Blume is one of the most censored writers, and yet I don't know how I or so many millions of other readers would, you know, books are there to help, not just to entertain, but to educate and to provide knowledge and to provide different perspectives and points of view. They're there to create understanding, and that's why I think reading is so crucial, and having voice, all kinds of different voices heard, and women's voices were not heard for centuries.
Yeah.
And a lot of them were lost to history.
I got to really honor what you're doing. What you're doing and what you've done, I hope you keep doing it, because the book that you've written is amazing. It is amazing. And it is such an important body of work right now. And I want to make sure people know, how do they get the book, Lauren, and how do they find out more about you? Let's make sure we do that.
Sure. Thank you. You can go to my website, which is laurenmarinobooks.com. There's an excerpt of the book there, and there are also links to buy it. But you can buy it on Amazon, at Barnes & Noble, at Books A Million, at bookshop.org. You can find it online. You can find it in an independent bookseller. You can ask for it if they don't have it. But all those links are on laurenmarinobooks.com.
Now, I know you've got to run. Your research was amazing on this. I'm a researcher at heart, but nothing near as interesting as what you did. But you did the research on this, and I would love for you to spend a few minutes letting us know what some of the little-known facts are. For example, you know, many of us know that women used to use pseudonyms, but very few of us know that contemporary women use pseudonyms. Everybody from the most popular books out there, right, to writing books about vampires, or maybe writing a book about Anne Rice, for example. Her first set of books wasn't under Anne Rice's name. Shocking. It's shocking to me that we're living in this age.
Yes.
But that's what you found out, right?
Yes, yes. And, it, you know, for most of history, women were not allowed to publish.
Wow.
So often they would have to have their brothers go to the publisher and get the book published on their behalf, but they could not put their name on it, or they had to use a male name. So some of our most popular writers, like Jane Austen, the Bronte sisters, George Eliot, George Sand, they either wrote under a male pseudonym or anonymously, but even as recent as, the Harry Potter books
are written
by J.K. Rowling, but her J.K. Rowling's first name is Joanne. It's Joanne Rowling. But because she was writing what the publisher thought were a book about a boy wizard, they thought it was a book for boys, that they wouldn't read it if they thought it was written by a woman. So they had her use a pseudonym. And, of course, they became the most popular books of their time. She revived the children's book publishing industry with those books. And they appealed to boys and girls equally. They also appeal to the parents and adults.
Yeah.
But also my daughter in seventh grade last year read The Outsiders by S.E. Hinton, which I remember reading when I was in school. And it's a fun movie. And, it's about Tulsa, Oklahoma in the 1960s and the boys that grew up on the wrong side of the tracks. The movie started the careers of Tom Cruise and Patrick Swayze and some other great actors. But I did not know until I was researching this book that S.E. Hinton was Susan Hinton.
Wow.
And that Susan Hinton wrote that when she was 17 years old. She's from Tulsa. So that was fascinating to me. Harper Lee. Now, we know she's a woman, but she wrote To Kill a Mockingbird. Her first name is Nell. N-E-L-L-E, Nellie. She knocked the first name off of it and said Harper Lee, published under Harper Lee, because she said, well, that sort of, it could go either way. It could be written by a man or a woman, and she didn't want to hurt her ability to get reviewed or to sell books. She didn't want to deal with the criticism of being a woman writing that book, so she wrote it under Harper Lee. So it still happens in some ways. And it's surprising that it still happens.
Yeah.
But there are still some prejudices in the culture. And, so women have found ways around them because they feel so passionate about expressing themselves and getting their words on the page and getting their ideas out there and sharing them. So they're really trailblazing and very, very brave, because the consequences to expose yourself like that, they're real.
Yeah.
They're real, especially in the era of cancel culture and everything else. So,
well,
I'm happy to celebrate.
I'm happy you're celebrating, but honestly, when I took a look at this, it's way more than a celebration. It is really almost a documentary about honoring these women and what they've done. And I do have one last author for you to comment on. As a kid, I grew up, and I loved all of the horror, anything with horror books and anything like that. But here's my last question, because I know you got to run. They're going to kick me off here in no time. It took me a decade to believe. Now, I'm going to admit this on air, but I was young.
Okay.
Who wrote Frankenstein?
Mary Shelley.
Exactly. Out of all of the books, right?
Mary Shelley.
You would never have thought that, would you?
No. And she was only 17 when she wrote it, which is also incredible.
Really?
And we don't have time to get into all of the stuff about Frankenstein, but, people think of it as just a horror book, but it's really much, much more than that.
Yeah.
It's, Mary Shelley had 8 children and before Percy Shelley, her husband, died, and only one of them survived. So she had a lot of loss in her life. So Frankenstein's really a book about creation and destruction and her own grief over the loss of her children.
Yeah.
So it's like, you have to read that book on many levels.
Yes.
And it's astonishing that a young woman wrote that. No one believed it at the time. They all thought that Percy Shelley wrote it, that her husband wrote it.
Yeah, they still don't believe it. People still don't believe it.
I guess not.
They don't. Lauren, I got to tell you, I know you've got to run. I know I'm probably in trouble for stretching this interview, but honestly, I could talk to you for a full hour interview on this. There's so much more to talk about. First of all, let me honor you as a woman for honoring these women. It is something that as women, we don't do that often. And as a matter of fact, I'm planning to do that for women in my field. You know, these are people that do radio and podcasts, and, you know, women don't own networks, but we do. And so you have done something extraordinary. Please tell folks how to get the book. And I've got to know your personal message.
Well, yes, LaurenMarinoBooks.com. You can buy it. Focus Broad, Women Who Wrote Themselves into History, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Bookshop.org, Books A Million, wherever books are sold, you should be able to find it. And I think this is a great Mother's Day gift that your mom loves to read. I think it's a great graduation gift. I think it's for women of all ages. And if you have a bookworm in your life, a female bookworm, she will love this book and she'll learn something. I also think for aspiring writers, when you see what these women went through to get their word out there, if you are an aspiring writer, these women will inspire you.
Lauren, I got to thank you for this, and more importantly, thank you for making this illustrated. What's your personal message? What do you want to leave us with?
Oh, I think that, you know, words are powerful, mm-hmm. and reading is, you know, creates knowledge and understanding, and I've devoted my life to books. I want people to read. Mm-hmm. I want people to come together through a love of literature.
I hope you'll come back on my show. There's so much more to talk about. And thank you for all that you're doing, Lauren.
Thank you so much. Great to talk to you.
Hey, everybody, please get this book. Please share this with your family. Please share this with your daughters. Once you get into the book and you open it up, you're going to hear things we didn't talk about today. Thank you all. Isn't about perfection. I think we all know that. Parenting is about being present and honest, having compassion for your child and for yourself, communicating consciously and loving unconditionally. Tune in to the Awakened Parent Project with Susan Dolce every first and third Tuesday at noon Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn to be an empowered parent through the techniques of the conscious parenting community. To learn more about Susan, visit SusanDolce.com. Can a cup of Joe support ALS?
May 14th. If you go to any one of our shops, proceeds from every cup go to research to find cause. If you don't have a shop near you, you can go to DutchRose.com and donate. The goal is 1.6 million. All of our releases, all of our great customers. It's going to take extraordinary effort from all of us.
Let's talk about ALS. Go to DutchBROSSandSam.com.
TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to our good news segment. Let me just say this and just take this in. Novel cell therapy now approved for a community in need of new options. Think about that. You're going to find out what's underneath all that. But novel cell therapy now approved for a community in need of new options. You ever been in a situation with your health and wellness where there were not new options? Today, joining me here, we're going to understand this really deeply about this cell therapy that offers a new potential option. And you're probably saying, for what? But I am going to have the experts talk about that. Dr. Nina Shaw is joining me here today, professor in the Department of Medicine, UCSF Center. Health and treats patients at the Hematology and Blood and Marrow Transplant Clinic. That is a big job. That is someone that knows a lot about what we're about to talk about. And then I want to introduce you to Cecilia Romansky, diagnosed with something that, did not have a lot of new options. You're going to hear about that. Dr. Shaw, Cecilia, welcome to the show, both of you.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thank you.
All right, let's reveal the mystery. let's reveal the illness we're talking about, the mystery. And the reason I like to lead with need of new options is so often, you know, we are faced with the form of cancer and we do not have new options. And this is a good new segment. So it's all about new options. Dr. Shah, fill in the blanks about what exactly are we talking about and why are new options critical right now?
Yeah, well, first of all, thanks so much for having me and being able to talk about this exciting new option. And I want to just give a little background that multiple myeloma, as you know, is a cancer of plasma cells, which are immune cells in a patient's body. And these cells grow and take up resources of other cells, and that's generally what cancer is. And it can present with fatigue and bone pain, tends to be in patients that are a little bit older. But the most important characteristic about this disease is that it is incurable, which means that patients are constantly going from treatment to treatment to treatment. They're always on therapy, and every time a treatment is done, we hope that it lasts for a long time, but sometimes it doesn't last, and people have another treatment, and so as time goes on, it becomes this marathon of a disease, and we're always looking for the next option. So that's why we're so excited to have something new, this CAR T-cell therapy, Abecma. And I just want to point out, I'm not being paid by Bristol Myers for this interview at all. I'm really wanting to raise awareness about multiple myeloma and talk about this new exciting therapy, Abecma.
Yeah, and we're going to have Cecilia on in a minute because I have a friend that is going through exactly what you just described, you know, treatments on a regular basis, and for her, it really is a step in a world of unknown. Am I going to be okay tomorrow? So I really want to point that out because need of new options and talking about new options is literally, miraculously a breakthrough. Oh, and we're going to get back to that, Dr. Shah. Cecilia, thank you for joining me here today. Welcome.
Oh, thank you.
So this is up close and personal for you. And I want you to share your story because this is literally personal to you.
Right, right. Yeah, I was 40 years old when I was diagnosed in 2005. Had young kids. They were 9 and 11. And my husband, we just had this awesome little family. We still do. But, then multiple myeloma came on board and kind of a shock. I've been healthy my whole life. So you get into treatment, and I had a stem cell transplant. But like Dr. Shah was saying, it's just a marathon of treatment. Like something you'll be in treatment for a year, 9 months maybe, and then it starts to wear off, and the cancer comes roaring back. So you're always thinking, like, what's the next thing ahead? What's the next thing? And thankfully, I got to be at UCSF, which is an amazing care facility, and I cannot say more about that. The team over there, they're amazing. But it's just that always, and then you have like people, friends, just trying to help you or over help you with information because, you know, you're always trying to think like what's next, and that can be overwhelming, and, you know, trying to dial down the noise and help them help you by telling them to maybe back off sometimes. just really listening to your doctors and going to resources that are pure and that your doctor directs you to, it was really helpful for me because you're just trying to live your life. You're just trying to do treatment, fit it into your life, and then just get back to going to the grocery store. So, and then this, Beth, it's a one-time infusion. Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah.
A one-time infusion. Did you say that?
Oh, gosh, yeah. No, it still bothers
me.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. And the reason that that's important to say is because people are listening to this, and we know other people that are going to treatment. That's right. Like a miracle. You know, one of the things, Cecilia, is fast forward to where we are today, right? Mm-hmm. You're somebody that is alive and thriving and walking and hiking, right?
Right.
You have a new perspective on life. How valuable is that to you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, when I was first diagnosed, the prognosis was 3 to 5 years. And I don't know if it's a mom thing, but it's just like, okay, so that's what I have. Like, okay, what do I need to get done? So my kids got hyper educated on everything they needed to know when I wasn't going to be here supposedly, but I'm still here. They're done with college, so I've got kind of run out of advice, and now I just get to enjoy them.
But just really changes your mindset. And again, you don't want to let it overcome your life, but at the same time, it's hard not to. It becomes your full-time job to take care of this so you could participate in life and be fully present when you're not necessarily doing treatment. So, yeah, this Abecma treatment was, for our whole family, it's the biggest gift.
Wow. Thank you, Cecilia. Dr. Shaw, the University of California, San Francisco, that's what the abbreviation stands for, everybody, UCSF. I want to peel the onion back with you if we could, because when I said, you know, in need, we needed to have something new, what are the unmet needs that persist in this disease for people to know? Because if you think about Cecilia, and, you know, that's why I had her say it again, one IV treatment, that is not generally the pathway people go up with this disease. Can you really peel back the onion for us today?
Yeah, I think this is a really important point that you're making here. We've got the first time that we have, first of all, a T-cell therapy for myeloma. This has never been done before. It's an engineered T-cell, so it's using all the cool technology to make this T-cell specific for the myeloma. So we're taking advantage of what we're given, the immune system, and making it better to try to kill the myeloma. So that in itself is a huge thing. And the unmet need is that patients usually do get cycles and cycles of chemotherapy, and each cycle is weeks and weeks, right? So they come to their patients and do that. But this is a one-time treatment. And the fact that it's combining the novelty of immunotherapy with the novelty of just being one time. I mean, this is something that is definitely a synergistic, a great resource to have for our patients. And that's why I'm saying that it truly is addressing this unmet need of, one, trying to treat cancer, and two, trying to make things better for patients.
You know, what have you, this is new, so I'm not going to put you on the spot as much as I normally would. It's a new treatment. But there's a cycle that goes on here for Cecilia, Dr. Shaw, where people seem to be doing better, and then maybe they get to a state where there is this, I don't know, maybe relapse that happens. I mean, it's almost like a roller coaster ride prior to this innovation. And so I want to talk about that with both of you, but more importantly, how do people, Dr. Shaw, how do they find out about this?
Yeah, you've captured it perfectly. It is a roller coaster marathon, like a long, you know, things are good times and bad times. People can find out a lot more about this therapy at abecma.com. That's ABECMA.com, and that will actually tell you a lot more details about the logistics, et cetera, what this therapy is. In addition, give a lot of resources about multiple myeloma for patients and family members. And I want to point out that, you know, this is a new therapy. It has its side effects, and I want to make sure that I say that there are some serious side effects associated with it, which can include something called cytokine release syndrome, or CRS, and also neurotoxicity. Side effects, but and things that you should tell your doctor about if you've experienced them. But overall, just something so new that's now a new option for patients that we just didn't have before up until a few weeks ago.
Well, let's talk about side effects for a minute, Cecilia and Dr. Shaw, because chemotherapy has its own bundle of things, right? And I'm glad you pointed it out, because people can make their decisions on this. That's what I love about doing these shows. It's like you get to do your research, you get to do your homework, you know there are side effects, but then you know what you've gone through in your life and you make a decision, right?
Right.
Cecilia, for you, you know the side effects, you made the decision. How's that feel?
Great. We knew ahead of school. Gosh, being in the at this job for 13 years, prior to the infusion, every side effect that I would hear with any chemo was like, well, it could kill you. So, it's going to kill me, or I'm going to live, or I'm going to die soon if I don't do treatment. So it was very exciting, I don't mean to be a little hit, but the cytox, it was a treatment that I was going to maybe not during the treatment know who people were. Like, my family was super excited about that. They were going to tease me, videotape me. I think they thought my wisdom teeth were getting pulled. And none of that happened for me. So I hugely disappointed my family. Because, I've had everything, and you're just so nauseous, other treatments, that you're just so nauseous and it's exhausting, and you don't want to be exhausted for your family. Like, if anything, that's the only reason why you do any of this, is so you can wake up and give them a smile on our face.
Yeah.
It gets tiring, but just that one time infusion is vastly, for me, it was just changed our lives. But looking at, the possibility of doing it, I wasn't scared because I feel like we'd walked through so much fire before. So we were just so excited with anticipation and seeing the excitement in your doctor's eyes, this whole thing has been so exciting for me to watch them, for knowing them for so long, that this is their passion. Like, they get to, help people with this disease and, so it's just miraculous to watch this whole process and just see how helpful this is for people. And
thank you so much, Dr. Shaw. I know we've got a minute or two left, and there's so much more we could talk about, but I really want to get to what excites you most, where you're sitting right now and what you see in the future, because I agree with Cecilia, the look in your eye, but the look in your eye is more than just a look in your eye. It's a look into the future. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we are so excited that there are there's a new class of therapies for this disease, because we didn't have that a few years ago. And what this opens up is the possibility that these treatments can, of course, be available for relapsed refractory myeloma. And we hope in the future, maybe patients don't have to wait to the end, after many, many lines to get this treatment. We also hope that by participating in clinical trials, people will, our myeloma patients, our community, we'll also learn more about the disease and how to best treat it. This is the first step, and I hope a long series of steps for improving our patients' experience and increasing the number of years where they will be able to wake up with a smile on their face, as Cecilia mentioned.
I love it. Look, one last time, I would love for you to tell us how to find out more about this and what's your personal message. What do you want to leave us with today?
For me?
Yes.
So please, if you're interested in knowing more about this therapy, please go to abecma.com. That's ABECMA, again, for resources about this therapy and the disease in general. And most importantly, to educate yourself, your family members, your caregiving team. Knowledge is power, and that's the most important thing you can have with you on this really long marathon journey.
Thank you. Cecilia, what do you want to leave us with today?
Oh, gosh. Yes, always have hope. Like, always trust in your doctors. Have hope, because they are working so hard with this disease to come up with just amazing options for us. So just be hopeful. Hang in there.
Yeah, I love it. That I'm going to use for the rest of the week. Thank you. Let's take a short break, everybody. We'll be right back.
On this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good Tuesday afternoon, or actually not afternoon, it's just a good Tuesday so far. Benny Mathers here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for Around the Sound. Well, good thing, folks, so far no major blocking or accidents to report at the moment. Traffic is finally getting through those S-curves in Renton northbound up through the Kennedale Hill. It actually starts back around the 169 interchange, again up through to about Northeast 30th Street, but smooth all the way into Bellevue and up into Kirkland and Redmond, of course. Stay tuned. Coming up next, after the news and weather, it's another hour of the Transformation Talk Radio Network. This time, it's Playing on the Edge Radio with Megan Edge. radical change with ease. Topic for the show today? Using our voice. More on that at the news and weather. I'm playing on the Edge Radio with Megan Edge.
Radio. I'm Tim Roberts. Senators are holding a hearing on recent high-profile cyber attacks in an effort to reduce their number in the future.
The extraordinary measures the company took to shut down the pipeline and the possible ripple effects that that will likely have on gas prices and our economy down the line shows that attackers will always try to exploit vulnerabilities.
Michigan Democrat Gary Peters says the attack on the Colonial Pipeline shows how vulnerable the nation is, adding the attacks can impact the daily lives of Americans. The EPA is issuing a fuel waiver for Pennsylvania, Maryland, Virginia, and Washington, D.C. after the cyber attack on the massive Colonial Pipeline. The waiver aims to make more gasoline available for sale and ease potential fuel shortages. Dr. David Kessler, a former FDA commissioner now working at Health and Human Services, is telling the Senate panel that everyone, even those who are hesitant, should get their coronavirus shots.
All the data support the basic proposition that these vaccines are safe and effective.
Meanwhile, White House Chief Medical Advisor Dr. Anthony Fauci calls the rapid development of vaccines an extraordinary feat. He says that success was rooted in decades of solid clinical and biomedical research. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell is criticizing Democrats, saying they're trying to federalize U.S. elections.
The Democratic Party, on its own, wants to rewrite the ground rules of American politics for their benefit. We all know that's what this is about.
While discussing a voting rights bill today, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer sharply criticized recently passed state voting laws in GOP states. Today marks a somber anniversary in South Florida. 25 years ago today, more than 100 people died when ValueJet Flight 592 crashed in the Everglades after takeoff from Miami. You're listening to the latest from NBC News Radio.
Research shows that people remember radio ads with a booming voice that emphasizes all the main points. So to help you remember that Liberty Mutual Insurance Company customizes your home insurance so you only pay for what you need.
That part is super important.
Here's one with a booming voice.
I'm emphasizing everything.
Liberty Mutual customizes your home insurance.
Like a page with every word highlighted.
Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
You've heard of one and done, but what about 100 and done? That's what Lexicon is for attorneys. $100 a month to be done with practice management headaches. Lexicon is a comprehensive software and services solution that helps transform law firms from top to bottom, giving lawyers the ability to focus more on law and less on practice management. We've spent more than a decade helping firms scale and grow while maximizing billable hours and increasing client satisfaction. Let us do the same for you. Lexicon marks the spot. Visit lexiconservices.com to learn more or request a demo.
And let's go ahead and take a look now to alternative talk weather outlook for Tuesday. Well, we'll see mostly sunny skies with increasing clouds later on this afternoon. High temperatures around 67, 68 degrees. Tonight, again, those clouds will creep back in for the evening. Low temperatures dropping down to about 51. For Wednesday, Thursday, and running up into the weekend, partly to mostly sunny skies. High temperatures in the upper 60s to low 70s.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat McFilley and Transformation Talk Radio.
Get ready to challenge conventional beliefs about what's possible in creating health, wealth, and happiness. You are listening to Playing on the Edge Radio with Megan Edge. This hit show is providing you with ways of sustaining radical and powerful changes in your life. It is time to open and expand your awareness, accelerate your well-being as Megan shares wisdom, teachings, and experience from a lifelong journey of the heart. Enact the power of radical change with ease and lift your desires to a new perspective. Now, here's Playing on the Edge Radio.
Wow, Megan, we're ready for another one, aren't we?
I can't believe it's been 4 weeks already.
I know. And the reason I say we're ready for another one, for those of you just tuning in, I'm Dr. Pat. I get to, you know, share this time with the host of the fabulous hit show Playing on the Edge Radio with Megan Edge. This is about radical change with ease, but today's show is extremely important. Tell us about today's episode.
You know, we had
some conversation about how we were going to title this show to really bring across to the audience what's important and why we're doing this show today. And so I decided on the title, On the Edge of Losing Our Voices, or Our Voice. And it's because of what is happening in the world right now that we are experiencing a number of different voices coming from a number of different places. And on a continual daily basis, we're watching some of these voices be shut down or be closed off or be minimized, mm-hmm. be hard to find. And it's a real challenge to have a voice when there is no platform on which to express that voice or to use that voice. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to look at censorship and really what is it, why is it, how long has it been around for, and what is the impact of censorship at both the personal level and at the public level, at the community level?
You know, it's interesting, too, for me, the degree of censorship that's happening. And what I mean by that is there is censorship we've always had. Mm-hmm. For example, if you're on an FCC-regulated station like this, right, there's certain words you're not going to be able to say, and rightly so, because this is a station that can be listened to by people of any age, mm-hmm. right? And the FCC is right by coming in and saying, you can't say this word, you can't call women this, mm-hmm. you can't do that. That is really, you know, not on our watch, you're not going to do it. But this idea of private companies like the social media, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube now, and Google, the fact that they are looking at ways that they control their own information, mm-hmm. they have the right to do it as a private company. But for those of us that have been independent so long, we have the right to broadcast there or not. However, what is the censorship about? See, that's the deal.
And I think that's really a key point to this whole conversation, because yes, there are places where freedom of speech and then censorship of speech walk a fine line and can be in place to protect, quite legitimately and quite honestly, to protect groups of people or people in general from being attacked by words and ideas and concepts that are contrary to our notion of freedom. But then it starts to get into a gray area when private companies like the ones that you've mentioned, or even leadership and government, get to decide for the rest of us what we are allowed to see, learn about, have access to in terms of information so that we can make up our own mind, which is really the basis of freedom of choice. You cannot make a free choice if you don't have all sides of the information available to you. And what we're seeing happening now, which is the part that disturbs me greatly, is that information that is vital to making wise choices for ourselves is being not made available. And that's a form of censorship.
Well, I got something this morning, and it was an article. And, you know, it kind of talks to this, but it's an interesting manipulation. And I got an article that came from the world of psychology or psychiatry, so to speak. Mm. And there is a psychology behind, for example, likes on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And the notice that came around today was a study published in Psychological Science. And it said that Instagram will begin a new test around hiding like counts on users' posts. Now, this follows an experiment in the area which began in 2019. Facebook will also begin to test similar experiences. And I thought about this in terms of today's conversation about censorship,
mm-hmm.
because censorship comes in many forms. But the fact that when you withhold something, right, or you forbid something, or you attempt to manipulate the psyche of someone, this is really disturbing to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's disturbing to the world of psychology that we're doing this. People that want to share their experience about disease and illness, their fears, right,
Mm-hmm. They're coming under criticism and scrutiny if they cross a line. Like today in today's show, you and I are doing, if we cross a line and we talk about something that's seen as medical and we're not qualified to talk about it, this show will be pulled.
Right.
Even if it's our opinion.
Or our experience.
What the heck? I mean, if I talk about my experience with ginseng without a scientific study, what's going to happen? But isn't that why you decided to do this show?
That's exactly why I wanted to do this show. Right now, information of a medical nature is critical to the decisions that we are making in a society that prides itself on freedom of information, freedom of speech, and freedom of choice. That fundamentally our laws protect us so that we can make freedom of choice without coercion or manipulation. That's really, really important. But when vital scientific medically based information that is contrary to the mainstream rhetoric is pulled or made unavailable so that people are only given a certain type of information upon which to base their decisions, then we don't actually have freedom of anything. What we have is censorship of information leading to what in some cases for some people have been catastrophic choices that they are making at a global level. And this is horrific to my mind as I'm watching this unfold and seeing the way in which in my own country, in Canada, things are not being given to us. Our doctors have actually been told by the College of Physicians and Surgeons that they are not allowed to have certain kinds of conversations with their clients, with their patients, around things like the vaccines or masking or social distancing. Mm-hmm. And if they do have these conversations with their patients, there is a threat that they could have their licenses pulled.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is that? What is that? What does that do for me as a patient going to see my doctor and trusting my doctor to be able to have a frank and open and scientifically based, medically based conversation with me about what are risks and what are benefits to any kind of treatment or procedure that I would choose to have? And then to learn that the governing body of this medical profession is gagging my doctor and threatening my doctor so that I don't have the information that I need to make an informed decision.
Hmm.
That to me is one of the most vilest forms of censorship. And there are many vile forms of censorship. But that for me has got to be one. Right now, that's a very personal one, I would say.
And, you know, look, I've been down this road before. And it was at high risk to many of us that stepped into the world and basically said, we're going to talk about this thing that we call Lyme disease. And we're going to talk about it in ways that perhaps people did not talk about it.
Right.
And we're going to really step out and ask the state of Washington, how is it you can make a claim that there are no cases of Lyme disease here, but one state over, they have them? I mean, tell us how this tick and deer does not cross the line from Washington to Idaho. And you see,
very respectful of state lines.
Very respectful. The tick knows not to come to Washington State. Or better yet, the tick knows, come to Washington State because they're not going to recognize the damage you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
But we've come a long way with that disease because people have taken risks, because people, doctors have lost their licenses, doctors that were in groundbreaking films.
Yes.
But what is the problem? What is the problem with having healthy conversations around whether or not people believe that this approach for this pandemic is working or not working for them? When do we stop people from talking about the fact that they have fear and anxiety?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we had a show pulled from one of the networks because they talked about the vaccine, and lo and behold, what happened to the vaccine? It got pulled.
Right.
That they were talking
about. Vaccine didn't get pulled.
No, the Well, the Johnson & Johnson vaccine got pulled. It got stopped.
Oh, right. Yeah.
It was like, no.
Mm-hmm.
So where do you draw the line? How do these independent companies decide what is okay for you to say and what is not okay for me to say? How do they do that?
You know, the only way that I can see from my layperson's perspective that a private company could in any way control the flow of our conversation is if they are working with people in leadership who do have that kind of control and power and influence to be able to say, you can't put up that billboard, you can't have that gathering and have that conversation, you can't have that text message on your phone. I've had messages pulled from Messenger in a private conversation. By the way, nothing's private on the internet at all. We should all know that and understand that.
Oh, and not on Google either. I just got another message from Google that it's going to share my information with somebody and that they reminded me that I find that that's okay for them to do.
But the point that I'm making is that there are a lot of people working together, working very diligently on a daily basis to ensure that the general public is only receiving from mainstream sources a very specific set of information with regards to what we're dealing with right now as our health crisis, whatever you want to call it. That, to me, that is the only way that this is possible. And that is quite terrifying. And I understand when people shut down and say, no, I don't even want to look at an alternative to what I'm being told, because then they have to start to seriously question the entire system, the people that they have come to believe that they can trust, like their politicians, which just that sentence is hysterical, but never mind that. You know, there's a lot of faith that that we as a community put into these institutions with the belief that they're there to serve us and to look after us and to protect us. And when that comes into question, when we really sit down in our critical thinking and start going, that doesn't make any sense, we have to reevaluate a lot of things about what we believe to be true. And there are a lot of people who just, that is not where they want to go with it. They are much happier. They feel much safer and secure listening to what they're being told, doing what they're being asked, and not questioning it. Not even questioning it. So even though the information may be available, I mean, it is being, we know it's being censored. We know it's being taken down. Everybody knows that this is not hidden. And places like Facebook and Instagram, and they're telling us they're doing this. We know that this is what's happening. But to really actually question the need of that and then the impact on the person at the personal level and the impact on community and the impact on family, that's a huge kettle of fish. That's a Pandora's box that many people aren't willing to open right now. It's just easier with everything else that's going on in their lives to follow the party line.
Yeah. Let's take a short break. When we come back, and by the way, those of you out there, we're taking your calls, 1-800-930-2819. You know, this is the conversation we're having. Truth is the first victim in a war or crisis. Is that true? Truth is the first victim in a war or crisis. And what happens when your truth doesn't match the truth of the people or the organizations that are controlling the narrative? What happens to that? Where do you go? What is your level of frustration? And this is, let's talk about this at the personal level when we come back, but let's talk about it at the public level. You know, what happens if you take your conversation to the streets? What happens about that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a censorship. That's a whole different level. And what are the tactics for keeping you quiet? Let's take a short break. This is Playing on the Edge Radio with Megan Edge, on the edge of losing our voice. Is this The Handmaid's Tale?
Mm-hmm.
And do we rise up? Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Can a cup of Joe support ALS?
May 14th. If you go to any one of our shops, proceeds from every cup go to research to find cause. If you don't have a shop near you, you can go to DutchBros.com and donate. The goal is 1.6 million. All of our releases, all of our great customers. It's going to take extraordinary effort from all of us.
Let's talk about ALS. Go to DutchBROSSinSam.com.
The Finder of Lost Things, exploring your superpowers of trust, healing, and transformation with me, Annabelle. When my brother Christian went missing, I completely denied my grief. We can either transform and transition, or we can stay stagnant. This podcast will uncover the process that Christian and I went on to find the lost things, him, and to find the parts of me that were missing. And there are things that are missing in you that prevent you from letting go, whether it's a person, a dream, a lifestyle. That process of trusting and finding the lost pieces and integrating them, that's where you get your sustainable transition that will carry on. Tune in every Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You can find me at HannahBelton.online.
Optimize your breast cancer screening without any radiation or pain. Effective, sensitive, and widely used thermal imaging in Europe is now available to you here in the U.S. Using state-of-the-art FDA-approved camera, Eastside's first and only breast thermography clinic is now open in Bellevue. Safe, sensitive, low cost, no referrals needed. Contact Holistic Medical Center at 425-451-0404 or on the web, drdarvish.com.
What we've been taught and told is not all there is. Life is all about energy, and the energy you feel is real. Tune into the Energy Paradigm each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com with Dr. Vic. The Energy Paradigm is an eye-opening, mind-shifting, transformative, and earth-shattering way to live, work, and do business that will enable you to unlock your magic every day. Visit TheEnergyParadigm.com.
Has your kindness been used against you? Are you ready to clear the confusion and reconnect with your power? Then it's time to become toxic person proof. Join toxic relationship specialist Sarah K. Ramsey as she gives you the secrets to rebuilding and rebranding your life after a toxic person encounter. It's time to get past the past, get real about the present, and get serious about your future. For more information, visit SarahKRamsey.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Megan, before we keep going here, of course, this is a bold conversation, the many that you and I have had over time, but it's a bold conversation, and we are taking your calls and comments on social media, if in fact we're still up on social media, 1-800-930-2819. How do they find out about you, and especially some of the empowering things that you are helping people with, and techniques for healing the wounds of losing one's voice? Because most of the time we don't address this. We put it under the carpet. We blow it away. Mm-hmm. And I'm not kidding about the Handmaid's Tale. You know, a very difficult series to watch, originally to watch the original part of it. But it's some level so very timely. So how do people find that out about you?
Well, if people are interested in learning more about the work that I do and how I do my work, they are welcome to go to my website, which is meganedge.ca. And you can also find me on LinkedIn. I'm on YouTube. We have a whole YouTube channel so far still. We'll see what happens after this. But there's loads and loads of workshops and empowering techniques and tools and visualizations and meditations that I've put together that are all free for people to use to help support them on their journey. You can also find me on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. Where else am I? I'm here in person if you happen to be in Victoria, Canada, BC. I'm still seeing clients in person, so lots of different ways that you can work with me and find out how I do my work and what it is that's important to me when I do my work. Because I think that that's a really important part of the conversation, is really what are your priorities, or what are our priorities when we're looking at how we express ourselves and how we hope that that expression is received by others. You alluded to something that I wanted to
share
with you, which is that we have this idea that we have these freedoms or these innate abilities to communicate with one another. And we aren't always aware of when we don't have that ability, right? So we were talking about what is this like at the personal level. You know, I think when we have a conversation around censorship, a lot of people think, oh, big censorship. They think government censorship. They think, what's it like in Russia? What's it like in China when you can't have a conversation? And it's big government that's controlling this. But censorship happens at that personal level as well, absolutely every day. It happens in our intimate relationships. You look at any abusive relationship, and there is one person in that relationship that has power and one person that doesn't. And the person that has power controls the narrative. I love how you said that, Pat. This is really what's happening at both the personal and the public level, right? So things like ghosting, things like gaslighting, even playing devil's advocate, there's lots of really subtle ways within the dynamic between two people or in a family that voices get lost, where we learn that it's safer to keep quiet and keep our heads down and toe the party line than it is to stand up and make a noise. And I honor that because we need to survive. And if you're in any kind of abusive situation, family, intimate relationship, otherwise, it may not be safe. You know, it may not be safe to stand up and say what you need or what you believe. You may not even know what that is because you've never had the opportunity to really identify and find that voice. And that when you do find that voice, it changes everything. And for me, in my own personal journey of finding my voice, and then the work that I do with especially women around finding our voices, is that we don't do it alone. We don't do it alone. You see, what I've been seeing happening over the last 2 years, 5 years even, is a divide and conquer mentality, divide and conquer technique. It's us or them. It's this or that. It's black or white. There's no in-between, and there's no conversation that can happen because we've got ourselves stuck in it's my way or the highway.
Right.
And that's very isolating. And then we have the physical isolation that we've been subjected to over the last year. And I'm not for or against any of it. I'm just observing it right now. What happens when two people get together and share a common experience is that they empower one another. And then when five people come together and share a common experience, that's an even bigger empowerment. And then you get a group of 20 or 30, you get a collective that comes together, like all of our doctors up here in Canada, well, not all of them, but those that are standing up and saying, no, you don't get to do this to us because we need to provide real client care to our patients. That group becomes stronger and stronger and has a louder and louder voice, and more people hear it, and they become harder to ignore and harder to subject when they gather in groups. It's that power of the groups that creates the empowerment and helps to heal those wounds of isolation and self-doubt and all that that comes from losing our voices.
Yeah. So let's get real about this for a minute. And, you know, and we also have a caller. And I want to, Charlene, we're going to go to a short break and we're going to come back and bring you on. I was really thinking about this. And, okay. So I have shared a million times. Benny probably is gagging right now for me to bring up the fact on how I dialed a wrong phone number and started the show, but that was real. But shortly thereafter, my first month on KKNW, I had the angel lady on. And 3 months after that, I came down with the mystery disease on April 1st of 04. And I'm not kidding. I haven't really talked about it much except for recently. And that's because I kept getting emails from the listeners who really wanted to know more. But when I was sick for 10 years and doing the show and out in public and on stage with Charlie McClain, I never talked about it. But people knew there was something wrong. Mm-hmm. I mean, I gained like 100 pounds, and people are like, what the heck? She is eating everything. But I wasn't. But one day, I shared, and I'm going to share it again. I said the angel lady, Sue Storm, came on air, and Benny, I tried to find this show, and I think she may have said it during a commercial. and said to me, and YouTube, do not cut this because this is a real story, folks, said to me, the angels are telling me there's something wrong with T3. Go look up T3 on the internet and find yourself an administrator. Now, two doctors came up, both of them natural doctors. I picked Dr. Nusheen Darvish out of Bellevue, the woman that literally saved my life. Didn't have any thyroid problems, but she was the one to have a solution. Mm-hmm. So can I talk about the fact that the angel lady pointed me to the doctor that saved my life? I mean, am I not allowed to tell that story? Am I not allowed to talk about those connections? And here's the crux of it, all of y'all. Guess what? The bill for COVID in 19 in the United States and the executive order had in it. So wait till you have to think about censorship for this, folks. We are now going to get released all of the documents. I mean, this was buried in the COVID bill, I swear. Look it up, everybody. Release the documents on UFOs. So if we can't talk about stuff that's not provable, are you going to rip apart conversations about UFOs, about extraterrestrials? Are you going to shut down George Norrie? Well, George doesn't really care about these networks. When we come back, Charlene, what do you get right to? You make an edge. Charlene is from Canada. So when we so where does this journey begin? But where does it end? Can we talk about shamanism? OMG. Let's take a short break. We'll be right back. Are you feeling the complexity of life? Do you feel that urge to step into something greater? Tune in to Nailed It Radio. Find your simplicity within your complexity with me, life coach Carrie Nail. Tune in each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com to discover what it means to use your full power to be the best version of yourself. Imagine stepping into the energy of saying yes to yourself and knowing you nailed it. For more information about me, visit CarrieNail.com. Are you ready to invest in your best self? Join Sabrina Wright as she shares tools for creating joy and balance in your life every single day. Sabrina is here to help you become your greatest advocate and empower you to make decisions that will help you live your best life. The Live the Good Life Show, connecting your physical and spiritual self. Every second Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Find Sabrina at the Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T, balance.com. Tune in to the show Heart Change Consciousness with me, Dr. Trish DeRocher, as stories of inspired activism come to life. Listening to conversations with your favorite authors, change makers, and many more who practice inspired spiritual activism and transform vulnerabilities into sources of strength. Let's be inspired together through my show Heart Change Consciousness on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are you ready to branch out? Take a leap of faith. Tune in to Get Rooted Radio with Erica Gifford-Mills on TransformationTalkRadio.com to equip, empower, and enlighten yourself. Erica will energize and excite you to power up your passionate dream that sets your soul on fire. So, get fearlessly ready and get powerfully rooted in your yes to live it up, love it up, and let it go. Visit GetRootedRadio.com.
Sometimes being human has its challenges. Our physical health falters, our spirits sag, our dreams don't immediately come to fruition. Welcome to the power of Maximum Medicine Radio. Join me, Doc Martin, in conversations that will blow your mind about healing. In our hit show, Doc Martin addresses the scientific with bridging to the mystical approaches to give you a new narrative about Maximum Medicine. In this live call-in show, we will journey into the extraordinary genius of the human body and talk about other beliefs that impact being your multidimensional self. We seek the seen and the unseen and explore the earthbound and the otherworldly, all with the purpose of calling forth the maximum you. To learn more about Doc Martin and Maximum Medicine, visit www.SharonMartinMD.com.
Out there for a minute. Thank you, Benny, for playing calming music. I would have thought maybe you'd come back with a little heavy metal right there, Benny. And Jacob, I'm sorry, I'm moving around a lot. Let's go to the phones, Benny. Charlene, are you there?
Hi, ladies.
Hi, Charlene.
Hi, Charlene.
When you were talking about groups coming together, not all groups that come together, especially on Facebook and Instagram and such, are healing and empowering. And I understand why they're doing censorship at this time in order to maintain a balance through the pandemic. It seems to some people that it is disempowering, but there is a higher level of protection, I think, for a lot of people at this time because there is a higher rate of mental illness. Mm-hmm. And when you have a pandemic like this globally, you have people online because they can't go anywhere else. Mm-hmm. And they're getting all of this communication out there, which is through the throat chakra energy, and words mm-hmm. have power. And what they're doing, a lot of them are, they're raising questions, yes, but they're also invoking fear. Mm-hmm. And what people need to do right now is to remain calm. Calm is our center, and watch for different things and be open for different things, but the thing is we do have a choice on whether or not we want to be immunized, and there will be a certain amount of the population that cannot be immunized due to cultural values or also due to autoimmune disorders, cancer, other things that they're in the midst of right now. But it is a freedom of choice whether or not they want to be immunized. So really, in all honesty, we are free. And as it goes for things like Transformation Talk Radio, mm-hmm. you are an empowering network. You are a positive network, and you're not invoking fear. You're basically opening up the lines of communication, and I'm really, really happy that you're having this conversation right now.
Yeah, thank you, Charlene. Boy, Megan, Charlene, I gotta tell you, that was so well said.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
It's so well said. And you're giving us a different perspective to think about.
We all have freedom of choice. We really do.
We do.
We can choose to turn on the TV and be inundated for hours and hours with the news, or we can choose to turn it off and put on some nice music and cook a nice meal. We all have our own individual realities. And it's our choice what we choose to tune into. Mm. I choose to tune into empowering shows like yours, Dr. Pat, and Megan.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So here, Charlene, and this is stay on for a minute because this is the situation we're facing as a network, and it's not just us. It's KKNW as well and any other network that has opened up the door for what we call expansive and exploratory conversations. What we're being faced with is someone else determining what we're saying, especially about alternative medicine, as it being a non-medical conversation. And because they consider that medical misinformation, that's their language, medical misinformation. If we talk about certain alternatives, then we're going to be canned, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
right? But yet, we've watched our leaders talk about people using Clorox, I think it's Clorox,
mm-hmm.
to counter. It's not me saying it. So I want to be clear, anybody that's listening to this,
mm-hmm.
I can send you the direct quote from our former leader to use Clorox, but yet that's not considered medical misinformation. So the question for us in independent media becomes, do we ask for a uniform standard where you're going to hold people that create medical misinformation or misinformation any kind to the same standard you're holding us as independent media? That's really what this conversation is really about. You know, we have hosts, and we have a lot of hosts from around the world, and we have a number of them from Canada. And they have learned to talk freely. You probably listened to Doc Martin talk about shaman methodologies for healing. So this has become a little dilemma for us, Charlene, and I don't think we have an answer, but you certainly have given us a clear and honorable and integrous platform for us to consider. Megan?
Yes, and I really want to give a hats off or applause to you, Charlene. Where we were about to go in our conversation is to show solutions, to show that place of empowerment, to show that we do in fact still have free will. That's something that no one can take away from us. There can be limits placed upon our access to resources, to information, to historical events, to knowledge, but within ourselves, within each of us, we have our own innate knowing. And you're absolutely right. We still have free choice. And I would encourage anyone to step away from the TV for a while, at least a day or two, just to come back to your center like you were describing and to really get back to what is a priority for you around what matters to you in terms of how you express, what you express, and who you are allowed to express to. Because I didn't want to leave this conversation on a fearful note. That wasn't how it was to go. It was that we do get to choose how we respond. In fact, that is ultimately, you've heard me say this on many of our shows before, your only place that you have control in your life is how you choose to respond to the things that are happening around you. And yes, there are groups online that may not have everyone's highest good in their hearts, who may be gathering together to express a different kind of experience than one of love and harmony and peace and health and all of that. And because we have freedom of expression and freedom of speech, to a point, there has to be room for both sides of that conversation. And then the protection piece, I hear you on that as well, Charlene. It's true that we elect people to lead us because we expect them to also be able to protect us. Where I go with that, however, is that at the end of the day, I still want to be able to make my own decisions and choices with all the information available to me in which to make that kind of informed choice. And while I appreciate that someone else is looking out for my highest good, I question what their motive is when things are unfolding the way that they are currently in this particular situation, or looking historically. You know, we can go as far back as the Egyptians or even further back. We can look at the Roman Empire. We can look at the Russian Empire. We can look at all of it. We can look at Germany. We can look at the McCarthy era. We can see where those who are in leadership who tell us they are there to protect us are, in fact, have a different agenda that is more directed to what works for them as opposed to what might work for the greater good of everyone. It is a slippery slope. And I will say this as well, Charlene, there are good people in leadership. I know that, absolutely. There are good people in medicine. There are good people in big pharma. There are people who are really, truly trying to do the best with what they know at this point in time. And I know that and I honor them, absolutely, I do. Many of those people are trying to tell us information and it's not getting to us. And that's part of what this conversation is about, is how do we then...
Yeah, because we're biodiverse. Like, we're, each one of us are individualized expressions of the same source, but at the same time, what works for one may not work for another. Like, with the one vaccine, there's blood clots. Well, you know, I have a sister that gets blood clots. That's the last thing she would want. So we have to make our own informed decisions when it comes to vaccination also.
Absolutely we do. And what I'm seeing that I find very disturbing is a level of coercion and manipulation to guilt people or bribe people into taking the vaccine without giving them all the information that they would need to be able to give informed consent for that experience,
exactly,
for that vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
And that I find very upsetting. And you don't have to look very far to find that information. Joints for jabs? I'm not kidding you. $500 to take the vaccine. These are programs that are being put in place right now in the United States to encourage people to do this. And to me, that feels inauthentic.
A little off.
Not to mention criminal on the other extreme of it. And it's important that we can have these conversations so that people are aware of what their rights are.
Yeah. Yeah,
exactly.
Well, what they're getting in their email box or what they're getting text on a phone and they don't know where it comes from. But really where we are with this is, where does the line get drawn? And this is the question for me. You know, this is the question that I ponder. And I really look at, Charlene, in the United States, well, if the president of the United States can make a statement that is a medical misinformation statement and get away with it and not get censored from national television, and you're considering bringing this, I mean, what's good for the goose has got to be good for the gander. And right now, here, what people are seeing is, let's go after the smaller companies, but let's try to stay away from the Disneys, or let's try to stay away from the MGMs, or let's try to stay away from them. And what I'm trying to say is, what is it you want us to say or not say? Spell it out. Don't give me a policy about what misinformation is, and then tell me that, you know, I don't have a way to say what maybe the psychological impact of something is. So, Charlene, we're going to take
And there are many truths. Like, there's not one set truth. There is a
way. Where do you draw the line? And this is where we're not getting an answer to. Let's
and
take a short break, everybody. We'll be right
knowledge
back.
Wrap and you're learning and you're...
Are you feeling the complexity of life? Do you feel that urge to step into something greater? Tune in to Nailed It Radio. Find your simplicity within your complexity with me, life coach Carrie Nail. Tune in each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com to discover what it means to use your full power to be the best version of yourself. Imagine stepping into the energy of saying yes to yourself and knowing you nailed it. For more information about me, visit CarrieNail.com.
Are you ready to invest in your best self? Join Sabrina Wright as she shares tools for creating joy and balance in your life every single day. Sabrina is here to help you become your greatest advocate and empower you to make decisions that will help you live your best life. The Live the Good Life Show
connecting your physical and spiritual self. Every second Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Find Sabrina at the right, W-R-I-G-H-T, balance.com.
Tune in to the show Heart Change Consciousness with me, Dr. Trish DeRocher, as stories of inspired activism come to life. Listening to conversations with your favorite authors, change makers, and many more who practice inspired spiritual activism and transform vulnerabilities into sources of strength. Let's be inspired together through my show, Heart Change Consciousness, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are you ready to branch out? Take a leap of faith. Tune in to Get Rooted Radio with Erica Gifford-Mills on TransformationTalkRadio.com to equip, empower, and enlighten yourself. Erica will energize and excite you to power up your passionate dream that sets your soul on fire. So, get fearlessly ready and get powerfully rooted in your yes to live it up, love it up, and let it go. Visit GetRootedRadio.com.
Sometimes being human has its challenges. Our physical health falters, our spirits sag, our dreams don't immediately come to fruition. Welcome to the power of Maximum Medicine Radio. Join me, Doc Martin, in conversations that will blow your mind about healing. In our hit show, Doc Martin addresses the scientific with bridging to the mystical approaches to give you a new narrative about maximum medicine. In this live call-in show, we will journey into the extraordinary genius of the human body and talk about other beliefs that impact being your multidimensional self. We seek the seen and the unseen and explore the earthbound and the otherworldly, all with the purpose of calling forth the maximum you. To learn more about Doc Martin and Maximum Medicine, visit www.SharonMartinMD.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to Playing on the Edge. I want to say this. I agree with Charlene, and I think both of us agree with Charlene. And if you want to find out more about the COVID-19 medical misinformation policy, you can find it online. It is a YouTube policy that does exactly what Charlene says. It protects people. And it doesn't allow for anyone that poses a serious risk of egregious harm to talk about those things that'll do that. For example, where you talking about the existence of COVID-19 not being there. So it protects people in that way. The dilemma for us is we don't know where the line is for us to have a healthy conversation about our experience.
Well, then,
go ahead, Megan.
That's a moving target. And this is part of the crazy making of this whole situation. It's a moving target. So last week it was okay to say you can meditate and that will help bring your stress levels down and that will help boost your immune system and therefore you will be healthier and perhaps not as likely to contract the SARS-CoV-2 influenza virus. But if suddenly that is considered medical misinformation, or it's deemed to be someone giving a treatment that is not medically based, does that then cause egregious harm? The languaging is so specific. The branding of this is so specific. And I want to be very clear. I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I'm not saying there isn't a virus out there that is causing harm. I'm encouraging people to look more closely at the facts, not conspiracy theory. There's nothing theoretical or conspiracy about this. About the facts of what SARS-CoV influenza virus is and how it can be treated. And yes, one way it can be treated is with vaccine, or not treated because that's not what vaccines do. Vaccines mitigate symptoms in some people, traditionally and historically. And then there are other things that you can also do to help boost your immune system, to help you be healthy. And these kinds of conversations are not being allowed. It is the biggest, I think, form of censorship right now that's going on. And what it comes back down to, as we were talking about, is the control of the narrative. It comes back to the control. Follow the control. I really did, I appreciated what Charlene said about protection. I think it's really true. We do want to, we want to believe that our leadership is trying to protect us, just like we want to believe our parents are trying to protect us. And oftentimes, yes, they are. But maybe it's that I'm stubborn. Maybe it's that I think a lot. I want to be able to make an informed decision. And I can't make an informed decision if I'm not able to access all sides of the information. And if I can't have a conversation with someone who knows about the medicine, who knows about the science, who can say, here's what the science is saying, then I'm not able to make informed consent. I'm not. I still have free will. Absolutely, I do. And again, you know, coming to the solutions at this point, the solution is to remember that you have free will and to remember that you can, in fact, do your own research. There's still a ton of information there. You can trust your intuition and your instinct. When you read something and you go, that doesn't make sense, or, oh, that makes total sense now, you know, you can have that experience still. We're very fortunate that we can still have that experience in North America. But please don't be fooled. There is an enormous amount of censorship that's going on right now that you may not even be aware of. You may not even be aware of it until it hits you at home, until it becomes personal.
Yeah, and that's why I like what YouTube did. I like the fact that they very specifically said, we have this guideline, folks. And they came out and they spelled it out for us.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, some of us got it a little bit late in the game because we really weren't aware of it. But now that we're aware of it, we're not going to violate that policy. If we ever do shows where people want to have those conversations, they just won't get posted on YouTube,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the networks are here and look at that. Now, I have to say this, and maybe Benny and Eric Crema, I'm going to get to have a conversation with them. I don't know if the FCC has generated a policy that affects AM/FM stations. So I don't know that if, you know, here across the country that we're on AM/FM, I don't know if there's a policy. But it certainly has made me more aware to ask.
Right. And I think that's the most important thing. I mean, that's what I would want to leave everybody with at the end of this conversation is you can still ask. And if the answer you receive doesn't sit well with you for some reason, then it is on you to find out what you need to find out what you need to learn, to ask those critical questions, who, what, where, when, why, and how. And be open to different opinions and different ideas and different facts so that you have the whole picture. You have that bigger picture. And if there are rules and laws in place that make sense, then absolutely. As part of our community, we follow those rules. I stop at the stop sign because that's the rule. It makes sense. It makes sense to do that, right? I really invite people to critically think about what is happening and what they are allowed to know and what they are not allowed to know. And of course, sometimes we don't know what we're not allowed to know because we're not allowed to know it. But the information is there. And as a point of empowerment, as a point of not losing our voice, you know, it's interesting. It's like gophers. There's an idea pops up and it gets pushed down. So it pops up over here. It pops up over here. Facebook is not the only platform. There are a dozen amazing platforms that are showing up where people are saying, we still need to have a place where we can have our voice. And so find those platforms and find out what people are saying on those platforms.
I think that what we're doing today is we're saying this is a thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
As a network, we're going to follow those guidelines. And we're going to follow the guidelines that are presented to us from other formats or media that we distribute to until the day comes where we feel like they're so restrictive that we won't launch our shows on those networks for certain shows. But Charlene said it best. Mm-hmm. We live in countries, you and I do, where we can make that decision. We have the freedom to choose.
Yeah.
But for today, we're just making everyone aware. If you're going to enter the realm of social media and private companies that distribute information, be aware that they have these guidelines. And for the most part, Megan, they do help.
You've been listening to Playing on the Edge Radio with Megan Edge. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio and the Dr. Pat Show Network, providing you with ways of sustaining radical and powerful changes in your life. If you've missed any part of this episode or want to find out more about Megan Edge, visit her website at meganedge.ca.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW.